Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we are with Frank Gaffney. Thank you for joining us.
It's a delight to be here. Thank you.
To start, could you just give us a brief description about yourself?
Sure. My career peaked very early on as I had the opportunity to work for two wonderful United States senators, Scoop Jackson, a Democrat, and John Tower, a Republican, and then went to work for Ronald Reagan and Caspar Weinberger in the Defense Department, acting as an Assistant Secretary of Defense. And it's been pretty much downhill ever since. I've been involved with a think tank, I guess one might call it. It's more activist and sort of an agitation operation, I guess, is the way I consider it, called the Center for Security Policy for most of the past 35 years. And today it's executive chairman.
That's great. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Center for Security Policy?
Sure. What we do is try to figure out what are the threats the country faces, defining national security very broadly, anticipate the ones that others may not perceive over the horizon, if you will, but headed our way, and then try to devise strategies for what to do about them, to prevent them from, in fact, becoming an affliction on the American people and their nation. We've been doing that in the company of a lot of other people through a model that I call the Special Forces in the War of Ideas, which is to say we partner up with groups like yours, wherever possible, to get stuff done that any single individual, for sure, and even groups typically cannot do. And one of those at the moment is very much top of mind for me and hopefully for you all as well, and that is the idea that the Biden administration has of stealthily surrendering our sovereignty to an outfit called the World Health Organization in the pursuit of what they describe as global governance. And at our Center for Security Policy, and people can learn more about it at centerforsecuritypolicy.org, we're pretty content with our form of government. It's not perfect. It's got some, some difficulties at the moment, for sure, but limited, accountable, representative governance under our Constitution is infinitely to be preferred over some arrangement where a Maoist from Ethiopia, picked for the job by the Chinese Communist Party as Director General of the World Health Organization, is going to be telling us if these two treaties the Biden team is working on and hopes to adopt in May come to pass. He's going to be the arbiter of what constitutes a public health emergency in this country and what we must do about it. I don't think the American people want that, and we're going to try to make sure they know in time to do something about it.
Could you give us examples as to what he could qualify as a public health emergency?
Well, you don't have to take my word or speculate about it. He's talking about it now with some regularity, even though he doesn't have the kind of power that he aspires to and could well enjoy in another 52 days, I believe it is. He talks about climate change, for example, as a public health emergency of international concern. He talks about reproductive rights. He talks about transgender agenda items. He talks about immigration. He talks about gun violence. And what all of these things have in common is the kind of solution that a Maoist from Ethiopia will come up with are going to be pretty unappetizing to the American people, and not just unappetizing, but frankly, contrary to our constitutional freedoms. For example, gun violence. I was just talking with a colleague about the prospect that the solution to that problem, which, well, quite frankly, the Biden administration would be very happy with, is to order Americans to go collect those guns from, obviously not criminals, but law-abiding citizens, because those are the ones you're going to be able to find. Those are the ones that have been registered. Well, never mind that we have a Second Amendment that protects against that. That would be gone under this kind of arrangement. An international treaty, even if not ratified by the Senate, has to date typically overridden our constitutional rights, our states' rights, And again, for all these reasons, we shouldn't have any part of this. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that the American people won't know this is underway until what I call the Pelosi rule kicks in. And that is, you'll know what's in it after we've signed it or passed it or adopted it. That's not acceptable in a situation mm-hmm. that's as serious as this. Our sovereignty is too important. Our states' rights are too important. And not least, folks, this guy, Tedros Ghebreyesus, as it's called, the Director General of the World Health Organization, was the one who basically, on an advisory basis alone, got us mask mandates, social distancing, quarantines, lockdowns, mm-hmm. forced jabs, and using untested or inadequately tested vaccines, no less, vaccines. If you didn't like what happened to you in pandemic 1.0, you're not going to like what this guy's going to do to you when he's got not just advisory power, but compulsory power on anything he really thinks he can get away with.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think this treaty is going to be signed? What's the reasoning behind it?
Well, again, there are two treaties. Neither of which they're calling treaties, by the way, because they don't want to have to submit them to the United States Senate. But the Congressional Research Service, whose opinion on these things is generally held in pretty high regard, says they're both legally binding. They both would be treaties. And, you know, obviously they should both be submitted to the Senate. And by the way, the framers of our Constitution were brilliant men, obviously. But one of the things that they were particularly brilliant was about trying to make sure that there was not an abuse of power. And if you remember your civics lesson, if you're of an age when we used to teach civics, checks and balances were a hallmark of the Constitution, right? You know, there were three branches of government and they each had different powers and they could counteract any abuses by one. Well, there was also an appreciation by the founders that somebody, a president of the United States, presumably, who meant ill, could destroy those constitutional checks on power by making some kind of foreign agreement. Mm-hmm. So they said such treaties had to come to the Senate and not just be subjected to their quality control, their advice and consent, as it's called, but the consent had to be by a supermajority, a very high supermajority at that, two-thirds of the Senate. So when they say, well, we're just not going to bother with that, mm-hmm. that's a problem. That's a constitutional problem. And in this case, I believe it will assure that our Constitution is destroyed, mm-hmm. in fact. And you're asked about why, what's the theory under which this is being done? Well, the stated reason, which I think they helped legitimize with that whole pandemic business, was, oh no, we might have another pandemic and we need to have some kind of central authority that can help us assure that it doesn't get out of hand and that the proper steps are taken and so on. Well, again, never mind that the central authority they have in mind performed so terribly in that last COVID exercise. It's not clear that you want an outfit, particularly one that's not very competent and frankly is very politicized. Under the thrall of the Chinese Communist Party, the World Economic Forum, the European Union, Bill Gates, Big Pharma. I mean, they don't have nearly the competence we have in our own medical institutions, let alone the kind of objectivity and conflicts-free, you know, ability to assess and properly prescribe good courses of action. So it's the theory that we need that kind of, you know, central authority. I think it's also a predisposition, pretty much it's explicit, for what's called global governance. Mm. And again, if you like our form of government, you're not going to like global governance, especially if you have to choose one or the other. And that's what this is set up to do.
Mm-hmm. What will come along with these treaties? I know you mentioned digital IDs. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, digital IDs is now apparently, as a result of some concerns that have been expressed, all this being kind of lowballed in these documents. And by the way, the so-called International Health Regulation Amendments document isn't even available. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to make it available 4 months before the voting takes place at the end of May. That hasn't happened. So by their own rules, this whole process should be delayed. But they've sort of lowballed in certainly the pandemic treaty, digital IDs, but it's still there. And the thing that's so concerning about that is, again, if you remember during COVID, you were told you had to have a passport that showed that you had had your vaccinations in order to go traveling, for example, especially overseas. Well, that platform can also become the repository for a lot more than just your very sensitive personal health information. That's bad enough. It can be, you know, where all of your banking information is, where you work, where you live, you know, who you socialize with, what you say when you socialize with them, and all of that can become a means for controlling you, which we've seen, by the way, in communist China, which is a prime mover behind all of this. In fact, they call it the China model. You have a social credit score in China based upon all of that kind of information. And if you don't toe the party line, literally, you can be punished for it. That's what they hope to bring here, I believe, and worldwide for that matter. And another feature of this is, you asked about the things that go along with this arrangement. There's also a censorship feature in which every nation has to create a mechanism for ensuring that people can't talk about or share information concerning the sorts of things that the World Health Organization proscribes. And those could be proper treatments for these medical conditions, or they could be anything else that, you know, is disagreeable. You know, oh, there's really no such thing as climate change, and we don't have to destroy our economy or our lives to, you know, try to mitigate it. That's not going to be permissible under the World Health Organization's dominion. So these are two things. There's the third that I just mentioned quickly. They have in mind a kind of clearinghouse for information about what they call pandemic potential pathogens, which is a fancy way of saying possible biological warfare agents. Well, what comes of sharing that information widely is almost certainly a lot more pandemics and or attacks with biological weapons, to the extent that those are different. And get this, not least, the cumulative effect of that could be achieving or at least advancing something that people like Bill Gates are really keen about, which is depopulating the planet. He's convinced that there are just too many of us and a lot of us have to go. Well, this is one efficient way to accomplish that if they choose to. So all of these are reasons, the concentration of power, unprecedented power in a single individual, let alone somebody who gets it without even having to go to war to acquire it. It's unimaginable, really. But you put on top of that the digital IDs, you put on top of it the censorship, you put on top of it the biological warfare sharing mechanism. This thing is insane. It will not stand scrutiny. But if the Senate doesn't get a chance to scrutinize it, it will be imposed upon us, you can bet. And it could happen in 52 days. Unless people like those in this audience get engaged, and I would encourage them to go to sovereigntycoalition.org, where we have an American sovereignty declaration that they can sign on to, and then they can get in touch directly with their elected representatives and say, we don't want any part of this pandemic treaty or this other international health regulations agreements. I call them the Biden WHO treaties. They have to be stopped.
That leads to my next question. What does the voting process on these look like?
Well, the mechanism inside this entity called the World Health Assembly is pretty much like the UN General Assembly. Every nation, irrespective of its size, its wealth, its power, its contributions to the organization, has exactly the same vote. So, you know, Botswana and the United States each get one vote. And not surprisingly, especially where the Chinese Communist Party is involved, they buy votes to have these kinds of institutions do their will. They more or less run them anyway, including in this case, as I said, the selection of the director general. But the United Nations and all number of other organizations under it are more or less run by the Chinese Communist Party. And in this case, there's no question that if these are brought to a vote, especially with the strong support of the United States government under Joe Biden, they'll pass on the basis of, in one case, a majority vote, in the other case, I think it's a two-thirds majority vote. But in both cases, they'll have ample votes because, you know, we don't have a veto.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, even if we were prepared to cast a veto, we'll be unable to do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next president who comes into office, if not Joe Biden, be able to stop this?
He will be able to do what Donald Trump said when he was president, which is we're going to get ourselves out of this thing. He was unable to complete that before he left office. Joe Biden reversed it, of course, when mm-hmm. he came in. Presumably, Donald Trump could do that. The trouble is that between now and November, when he might be elected, to say nothing of January, when he might be sworn in, a lot of damage is going to be done. These various instruments are going to be put into place, and we'll also have the United States conforming to it. So at that point, you have then a whole constituency of people say, oh, no, we can't withdraw from it. You know, that'll affect something, you know, mm-hmm. our pandemic preparedness or the cash flow that we're getting or the, you know, the access to that data that everybody wants. I mean, all of these are things that it will be very difficult for a president to undo, I fear. And it's all the more reason why I think our object has to be twofold right now. And this is the purpose of our sovereignty coalition in a campaign we're calling the Campaign to Defend America's Sovereignty. And you can learn more about this at sovereigntycoalition.org. One is these treaties, votes on these treaties should be delayed. There's no reason for mm-hmm. rushing them through without any public debate or even knowledge of what's afoot. And two, the United States Senate must have the ability to do its constitutional duty, which is to review and debate and then advise and consent or dissent mm-hmm. to these treaties. My guess is if that process actually takes place, the United States Senate is not going to approve either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they don't want the Senate to get its hands on them.
Mm-hmm. So tell our audience one more time for the citizens who are listening saying, I'm against this. What can I do? Give your call to action.
The call to action is this. We need to persuade the Biden administration that the idea of surrendering our sovereignty as opposed to safeguarding it and preserving it is actually not a winning electoral issue. If that's in the plank, this is going to be radioactive, figuratively. And if that's the case, I personally believe that the Biden team, even as committed as they are to surrendering our sovereignty, to building this new bureaucracy of global governance and being ruled by it instead of the Constitution, that, by the way, every single member of the administration swore an oath to support and defend.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what they're intent on doing. We need to persuade them that it's a very bad idea, especially if they run against a guy like Donald Trump, who I think really means it, who understands that this World Health Organization lied to him previously, as did Tony Fauci and Dr. Birx and so on. But the World Health Organization was instrumental to much of what was done. It was very damaging in this mm-hmm. COVID exercise. But I would just say, persuade this administration that they need to delay action on this and persuade your United States senators. You have two of them. You can get access to them at sovereigntycoalition.org with a click of a mouse. Those senators need to do their job. That's why we pay them the big bucks, as they say, to do their job on quality control of treaties.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a privilege. Thank you for having me. God bless.